that's really cool. Thanks for, we do this every Sunday, maybe not quite as much food, but thank you also, Jan, very much for the beautiful spread. And we are just happy to be here. We realize that that the Christian life, once you decide to become a follower of Jesus, that everything runs perfectly smooth. There are never any more roadblocks or speed bumps or anything like that. It all just is smooth sailing. Because that's how it really worked for me, right? No depression and none of that stuff going on. I'm kind of not telling the truth here, as you well know. There's a reason for that, and sometimes we have trouble understanding that. We think, look, Lord, I gave my life to you. My plan initially was, I'm coming back to the Lord in 1986, and I think, cool, I'll be a Christian musician and make a living at that.
Right.
needless to say, there were a couple of speed bumps there. But I'm really grateful. God led me on a very strange path. I never, ever wanted to be a pastor. And some of you out there are saying you shouldn't have been. But here I am, nonetheless. And just try and stop me. I'm the follower of Jesus. That's about how that's going to go down. There's a lot of writing in Scripture about suffering. And about even God's people suffering. There's a whole book of Lamentations. Where the prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, goes on and on. God, how can you do this? This is so sad. These were your people. And admittedly, God's people had left him to follow idols at that time. But there is a part of it that's a refining process that God does with us. And I look at my life and just the way that God has given me a better understanding of other people and what they go through. And I'm actually beginning to have just a smidge of compassion for people because of those things. And so it's helpful. So thank you for that, Lord. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't claim to understand the trials that you bring, the suffering that you allow into our lives and the lives of others. We can't understand it, but we try to. But we trust our lives with you. We trust you as the just judge, as the one who knows how to form us and shape us, even through fire. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to keep our eyes on you and follow, even when it's so tempting to look around at all the difficulties that we face. And I pray for each person in this room, Lord. If anyone is going through any particular difficulty or trial, Lord, you know what they feel for Jesus. And I pray that you would walk with them and give them comfort and strengthen them so that they would glorify you and they'd be an example and a witness to the world of a God that we can trust. And Lord, I pray that you will refine each person by what they're going through, that you won't waste even a tiny bit of that struggle, that suffering, that you will use it to refine, to grow, to strengthen, and to make that person more like you, Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, children are dismissed from their classes. Thank you. sometimes fire is not just metaphorical, right? Sometimes fire actually happens, and we're going to talk about that today. I'm so grateful to have Patty from the Patty, Mark, and Becca team here, from Zoe, which is wife.
Yes.
And they were our missionaries in the Philippines, and now they're our missionaries in the remote village of Albany, Oregon. And we love them, and we support them there, and they're... Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the plans or the ideas are for the future. Sometimes God changes our plans, but the Artesia situation, maybe you can do that.
Well, you could even probably share Artesia a little bit, just because you've been involved in helping.
I'm more than willing to add my two cents, you know. But you are here, so come on up, will you, Patty, and share a little bit about the fire that you guys went through. I'll get you a microphone.
Or do I just project?
Project for a minute, then okay. I'll get you a microphone. And
asking the Lord about what do I share? Because, man, this last couple of years has been huge for us. And I think we kind of passed through a metaphorical fire before we went through a real physical fire. And our last year in the Philippines was pretty intense and rough, and I had a lot of patients that were terminal in their 30s, and we just went through a very dark time. It was difficult, and Mark's health continued to decline, and we obviously pressed into the Lord and asked, what are we supposed to do? Am I here? Am I on?
Yes, okay. You will be.
Okay. So, he made it very clear that it was time for us to wrap up shop and to come back to the States. And on times before, you know, planning a time of 6 weeks, 2 months coming back is one thing because you have your ongoing ministry and you have something to look forward to. But when he tells you to wrap up shop, it's hard.
Yeah. Oops.
And the idea of leaving a place that we poured our hearts and our lives into for 9 years is a hard thing to prepare for. And as we sought the Lord about, well, what are we going to do when we go to America? Because, you know, being American, we like to make plans, right? God doesn't always operate that way. And every time we pressed in and we're seeking the Lord about what are we going to do, he's like, don't worry about it, I've got it, you know, kind of thing. The only thing we would get was Abraham when God told him, go to the land that I'll show you. It's like, oh, that's not enough. You know what I mean? But it's like, okay, Lord, we just have to trust you with this. And go. So we bought tickets. And in faith, it's like looking towards coming back to America after we've really adjusted to home being the Philippines. And have grown accustomed to the way of life there and the culture there and the idea of coming back to kind of the chaos of America in the middle of the craziest election ever and all sorts of crazy ethical changes in the cultural climate here. Mm. It was like, oh Lord, really? We get to go there? And it just wasn't something that was exciting or hopeful. But he says, go to the land, I'll show you. And it's like, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to go, even though you don't know what it's going to look like? And it's tough, and you're like, okay. Because for some reason, I think our human default is we always think worst case scenario. I don't know. Are you guys kind of that way? When we just, and it's like, God has better things in store, and we don't always think that we let fear kind of be a part of our equation of the way we think. And so I wasn't literally looking forward to coming to America, honestly, sorry. But anyways, I was like, okay, God has our good in mind and he wants us to come and Mark definitely needs help, but what are we gonna do while we get physical help for him? I don't know, the Lord's not revealing it. And
then 2 months before our departure, well, actually it was like 7 weeks before our departure of our tickets to leave, we had an incredible house fire that burned 8 houses in our village and affected 13. And we lost everything. And it's like, oh my Lord, why now? We're already going to leave. Okay, now what do we do? You know, I mean, it was really just a hard place to be. But in the middle of it happening, we knew that our relationship with the Lord wasn't going to be burned up also. That was our foundation. And that all of the things that we had kind of put a little bit of a lean and trust on was gone, and all we had was the Lord. And that was a good thing, but a hard thing. And emotionally, you guys understand the deepness of the pain of losing everything. That's a really tough place to be. But we knew the Lord was there, and he was going to see us through, and we could trust him. But it's hard. And we had the body of Christ come alongside us beautifully, and God took care of us and provided for us amazingly. But it was definitely a trial. But still, we had this recovery from fire and getting all of our IDs and passports and everything like that so that we could get on a plane, come home in 7 weeks. And anyways, God did an amazing thing. We were able to start to rebuild and stuff before we left. And he did amazing things. But anyways, once we finally got to America, it was like, okay, now what? Okay, we do the medical thing. But honestly, we were just felt like we were fried and burnt out emotionally, physically, everything. It was like, but God knew we needed time just for recovery. And I can't believe it has been 8 months since we've arrived. And I had no idea how the Lord was going to provide for us. But neither one of Mark and I have had to go back to work. We have been able to have incredible time with the Lord that's been unpressured and just wonderful time just to press in and seek him and receive personal counseling from the Holy Spirit, which has been marvelous. And when that song, that last song, oh my gosh, that just really blew me away, because it's like when he says, go, go. When he says, wait, wait. And that's definitely what we were walking through, even though it felt like we were blind in the midst of go, go, and wait, wait. And I had just read from Exodus about how the people of God were taken out of Egypt and how when they were doing their wanderings in the wilderness, that they built the tent of the meeting, and the Shekinah glory of God would come and sit at the mercy seat in the tabernacle. And they would stay camped out. Can you imagine God camping out with you? I mean, that's pretty incredible. We just went camping in Mexico and built houses with a Moor over spring break. And the idea of camping is a little bit uncomfortable. And for the God of the universe to come and camp with his people is really awesome when you think about it, because it wasn't really comfortable at all. But that's what he did, and the people of God just stayed where he stayed. And then when he would get up and go, then it was time to pack up camp and follow him. And then they would follow the cloud until the next place that he camped, and then they would camp. And I felt like, what an incredible analogy, because they have no idea where they're going. They're just following the Lord. And that's what this year has felt like. And it's funny now to look back 8 months ago and think, why was I so freaked out about coming here? Because he has totally taken care of us. And he had this time special set apart for us to just heal. And he's been a faithful, faithful physician and healer for our hearts and our souls. And I'm so thankful that he really does have our best in mind. So now, I guess you want to know about what we're doing.
Sure.
Mark, you know, Becca is totally into theater and loves the arts. And that's her passion, and that's what she's doing in school. And she's in play after play after play in school. And so Mark created a place for her and her friends to come and hang out that is focused on the arts. And so Dan's been a part of that. And so it's just that we want it to be the house that the kids like to come to and hang out, because, you know, ministry just kind of naturally happens when. And so that's, he's been a big part of getting the sound system and the lights and stuff like that in. And we're already having some of the kids come over because they've been helping paint and things like that. So that's been fun and cool. And God's also just brought people to us to minister to just right in our own home. It's been a really cool, kind of totally unexpected season that has been very good and very lovely. I've enjoyed God's presence this season, so thank you.
Okay.
So, thank you very much, Patty.
Yeah.
We were really careful about picking out the missions and the missionaries that we supported. We did it very prayerfully, and actually it was fascinating how our women, we called them the Matthew 25 women,
yeah,
picked out Mark and Patty. They were talking about, you know, they wanted to help orphans and young girls that have been in trouble and have had a difficult life and that kind of thing, and Beth goes, I wonder what my old friend Patty and Mark are doing. Old friends Patty and Mark are doing. And so they researched that and gave Patty a call. And it was just an amazing, perfect fit for us to support them. The thing about City's Edge is we believe in two things. Die and make it personal. Well, we might believe in a little more than that. But it's kind of been our model, our mantra for the last almost a year. That whole idea is we want to make it personal. We don't want to just have some missionaries that, you know, we don't know what they're doing or who they are or what their life is about. We really want to interact with them. And what I like about what you said and what I like about Mark and Patty and your daughter Becca is that ministry for you is very personal. I mean, you're talking about having people in your home, and that's where God is opening the doors, just right there in your home. It's relationships.
Yeah.
So our strategy for growth at City's Edge is, oh God, please don't make it happen. We don't have any more room. I can't handle any more relationships.
Sarcasm.
That's a little sarcasm. But the truth is, you know, if whoever God brings into your path, whoever it is, whether it's family, a coworker, friends, those are the people God wants you to reach out to. He brought them into your path. That's pretty cool. And we feel the same way about Mountain Ministries. You know, we didn't know much about your ministry until we sent a guy up there. and then we began to discover, it's like, oh, this is something we can really believe in. So we decided to make it personal, and that's what we're trying to do. So we are very, very glad you're here. I'd like to bring Kelly up, and Kelly, you're going to share a few words. We play back. Yeah. We want to hear how the fire affected you. We want to hear a little bit about just what's gone on the last little bit, I don't know, year or months or whatever, Kelly, and that would just be great to hear from you. I will set you up with this. We can put that in a pocket or something.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Right here. Clip it on.
Well, my name's Kelly Oten. I've been up at Mountain Ministries since 2004. It's been about almost 14 years. And God had appointed me and brought me to the mountain from a life of drugs and alcohol and prison. 13 years of my life in prison, and most of it on drugs and drinking and whatnot. And ever since I was about 5, I was brought up in darkness and whatnot. But God delivered me through a series of events. But what I do want to talk about is the fire. And I first of all want to say thank you very much to City Edge Community Church for all your support and prayers and just the partnership and the relationship that we do have, and how we've just bonded through the time and the moment from since you guys have sent Jordan up there, and we've become to just have a partnership and relationship with you. we covet your prayers, and we do feel them, and we do thank you very much for everything. And so I don't even remember the date of the fire. I've been so moving and just continuing to move, but I remember the night that that the fire did happen. I was dead asleep, and I heard a voice, and it wasn't just a voice, it was intense. And it was one of the men. His name was Anthony. And matter of fact, Anthony just graduated to me. He's a hero. Anthony is a hero, and these men are heroes, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. But my first thought was, oh, they're scrapping, man. These men are, you know, something's going on. I mean, this guy's yelling, they're yelling, and I'm thinking, man. So I get up, I'm in my pajamas, I go to the door, and I open the door, and I look out, and there's Anthony on the front porch, and he's screaming to the top of his lungs, get up, fire. And I see these flames, and they're shooting out the very end of the double wide trailer, and it's like intense flames. It's coming off of a fifth wheel, and instantaneously I got this overwhelming adrenaline. It just filled me, and it almost incapacitated me to where I couldn't think. And so I ran into the house, and I started telling my wife, waking people up, hey, there's, you know. And then I just disappeared, and I thought the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go out, and I'm going to grab this hose, and I'm going to get up on the roof, and I'm going to go to the end of this trailer, and I'm going to start putting this fire out. And that's what I did. I just got up there, and I grabbed, because what I'm thinking is, it's going to take my home. It's going to take this house. You know, we're going to, if we don't get this fire out, well, up on the mountain, we have a shortage of water. The well tends to go dry, or it just needs time to replenish. It's only, I think it only produces, what was it, Gary? How many gallons?
I think about 7 to 10 gallons. It's enough for 7 for a family. But,
yeah, so the well itself wasn't producing the water that it needed. And then we have a gravity feed system that's not very powerful. Doesn't have a lot of pressure. But I'm up there with that gravity feed system, and I'm sitting there with a hose, and I'm determined to put this water out. I mean, put this fire out. I'm determined to do whatever I can to get it out. And I hear this voice from down below, and it was Mike Bales. And Mike said, Kelly, get off the roof. You're not going to put that fire out. And I kept looking over at him, and I said, are you sure? You know? And in my heart, in my life, I'm determined I'm going to put this fire out, because if I don't put this fire out, it's going to destroy. And he said, brother, get down off there before you get hurt, because I'm up on the roof, and I'm in total shock with adrenaline. And so I listened to him, and I got down off the thing, and then I come to find, and I'm running around trying to figure out how to do whatever. And at about that point, Mike had went around to the front, and one thing was leading to another, and my wife's van caught on fire, my truck was destroyed, which, you know, things were progressing pretty fast, especially with the trailers, the travel trailers. There was four of them, and it spread, and one of the travel trailers was Doug and his daughter. And the flames that were shooting out from the one that had started it trapped them inside of their trailer. And they could not get the door open. And no matter how hard they kicked, I mean, we're talking about a trailer here. So God was holding the door closed, because on the other side of that door was flames. And so they ended up passing them through the windows and climbing out the windows and getting out of the fire. And so all this was taking place, and I'm like scattered. I'm to and fro. I'm grabbing stuff. Mike had got the men. They were kind of standing around looking. He said, "Hey, let's unload this house." So unlike, I forgot your name,
Patty,
yeah. And her family, who lost everything. I'm forever thankful and grateful for the men that were rallied up, and they emptied my home of everything. Maybe a few things were left behind, but everything that really mattered, keepsakes, pictures, all the way to my son's Legos. We're talking everything, picture, I mean, and so these men went in and just unloaded that house. Now, that house was burning forever. And the enemy wants to come and try to create this bitterness in my heart, because all we needed was at least one fire truck. That's it. One fire truck of water, what it came up there, would put that fire at least in the trailer. And so the enemy's coming going, yeah, this darn fire department, you know, and codes and regulations and this and that. And it really didn't, I mean, I'm not going to allow that to take place. I mean, yeah, I kind of grumbled a little bit, but, you know, it's not in our hands. It's in God's hands. And so as time went through, once we got it all emptied out and everything, and we all just stood back and kind of watched it burn. Gary said, if there's nobody was hurt, then let it burn. Stop doing what you're doing. Just let it burn to the ground. Well, I want to share, this is how my faith, I want to share my faith with you. When I was called to the mountain, I was with my son Dakota. I ended up graduating the mountain, did my 1 year, answered the call of God on my life, went down below, and I just felt I'm going to do what God called me to do. Gary didn't have to come and tell me, hey, get up and go up the mountain. I just did it. I did what I believed in my heart that I was to do, and then I received my son, Dakota. He's 17, and he lives with us, and we stayed in a room down below, but eventually, God began to minister to my heart. I want you up on that mountain. And man, I mean, I was good with staying down here and going up and then coming back down, because it was pretty intense. When I would go up there, being the assistant director, boy, I'd get treated pretty intensely. I mean, guys didn't want to listen to me. Man, I'd get frustrated. My anger would rise up. I'd have to call Gary and go, Gary, I don't know what's going on, but they're not listening to me. And some of them would, some of them wouldn't, but it was pretty intense. So when God began to minister to my heart, going, hey, I want you to go up there and I want you to live up on the mountain. I went to Faye and I shared to Faye, I shared with Gary, and Faye said, well, if God's calling you up there, then he's going to provide a place for you to stay. And so I think it was about a month later, maybe a little longer, she came to me, actually it was Gary who came to me and said, boy, you must have been praying. Says God provided a place for you to have. It was a trailer, it needed some work. This is all this ties together. So this trailer come up there, we fixed it all up, me and my son moved up there, and we're in that trailer, and man, I just started seeking God with all my heart. I started down below, actually, praying and seeking God and just asking God to give me what I need. God, if you're calling me up there, then I don't want to go up there without you. I need you. I can't do this. There's no possible way. And so, as he provided, I went forward. So, in that trailer, I had a dream. And in that dream, there was me, there was Gary, there was Faye, there was Tad, and there was Connie. And I don't know if you know who Tad and Connie is. Tad and Connie are the directors of the women's facility and whatnot. And all of a sudden, this whole trailer just started shaking. The trailer that it was given, and I just started going, what's going on? So I opened up the door, and it was almost like an earthquake, and exactly what it was, and we all piled out of the trailer, but as soon as we did, the ground opened up and swallowed the whole trailer, and everything that I owned was in it, and I just started laughing. I cracked up and started laughing. I was rolling around on the ground going, oh, man. And what God began to minister to my heart was, let it go. Let everything go. It doesn't belong to you. So God had prepared me a long time ago to just let go of earthly things that in my heart I did. So I just went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, it's all yours. I don't want it. I take my hands off of it. I don't want it to control me. I don't want it to have any hold on me. And so it's yours. And so in doing so and doing that, my faith began to grow in Christ, in Christ alone. I began to hold on to him and that he's all I got. I don't know about you, but Jesus is all I have. He's all I'll ever have. I mean, don't get me wrong. You guys are a part of Christ. You're who I have. You're Jesus to me. And my family and everybody that's connected to the body of Christ. But I let go. And he told me, he says, you're gonna learn how to trust in me for everything. Not just but for every single thing. And I'm telling you, I had to die because I'm a man. And a part of a man is he created me to go and to provide and to work. And so I had to adjust to all that, what my earthly or my worldly perception of what providing was about, and come into this place where he called me and he said, I'm going to be your provider. Trust me. You do what I've called you to do. I'll provide. And I believe it 100%. I've been up there for almost 14 years. So the same trailer that he provided for me is one that started the fire. And it was in that trailer that started the fire, or where the fire started, that took out everything. And so it all made perfect sense to me as I was, you know, how he showed me that trailer and everything that was in it was going to be gone. And so that was a preparation. But my faith, and I say this with confidence, is in Jesus. And that night when everything was happening, and I was more concerned about my wife, and how she was going to handle it and how she was going to take it, and you know, because you know, even now it's the house and home, it's all for my children. You know, I could sleep in a tent, I could be wherever, but you know, I desire my family to be in a home. And so my faith, I just believed God was gonna somehow make everything right. And through it, I wasn't gonna allow the enemy. Now, don't get me wrong, going from a 945 square feet home, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, to a 27-foot trailer was pretty intense. It's been trying, it's been pressing, but yet, It's been a journey. It's been I wouldn't trade it for anything to be able to go through what I've gone through and to press through with Jesus. Is man, if somebody would have told me that I was going to go through that and that was going to happen, I would have said, well, but it's not the first fire that we've experienced on the mountain. Gary and Faye lost their home as well, and that I think that one crushed me more than my own home. Honestly, to tell you the truth, when I was seeing that historical place take, man, I fell on my face and started crying to God right there. But I just through it, being able to see the work in the hands of God through faithful, the body, the bride, people as yourself, minister and be ministered to and to be moved by God to help support or come alongside and do what the body does. I mean, the body of Christ is, I mean, it's us, that's you, and not only this church but other churches and other people, and I mean all over the place, have come along and helped. And so at this point right now, we have a double wide home up there. There's two, actually. The men, you know, they lost their home too. I mean, the men got their house taken, their stuff taken, and, you know, and some of them were shook, and I had my 17-year-old son standing there going, well, where are we going to live now, Dad? What are we going to, you know, what are we going to call home? And I said, don't worry, son. God's going to provide. I mean, he'll provide. And And then the men, too, were shook. And I know Hamilton was pretty shook. He lost all of his stuff there. And I mean, there was other men up there that just lost everything. And but through it all, I mean, we had to band together. We all had to come together and make it through. And at the same time of waiting and being patient and, you know, and living in the trailer and at the same time still ministering and doing the things that God called me to do. And even then, I beat myself up at times because I feel like I'm not doing enough. But the Lord's faithful, and He'll always come to encourage me and just move us into places where He wants. And what can I do but trust in God? And I could throw my hands up, but that's not even in my heart. And at the same time that my house was burning, I remember Jerry Arianas coming up, and I'm standing on the office porch, and I'm looking at the flames, and I'm just sitting there in awe, and I'm just like, man, Lord. And Jerry's like, man, I don't fit, you know, he's sick. And I just began to pray for Jerry. You know, why allow this circumstance to take away from Christ or, you know, our ability to do things? And I remember the same thing happened with Faye Miller when her house was burning. And what a great example that she left in me, because it happened with me. It was something that I learned through Gary and Faye. While her house was burning, there was a man that used to be in the program. He came and he was, you know, he probably smelled like alcohol and whatnot, but she turned her back to the fire, and it wasn't even about the fire. She began to minister and witness to him. And it was just like, that's amazing. That's, you know, that's what it's about. That's what it's all about. And to encourage others and to lead by example and to, you know, not to allow these earthly, you know, things that happen to destroy our faith. See, our faith is grounded in Christ. And it doesn't matter what comes your way. You need to understand and know that you are grounded in Jesus, because something can happen to one of your loved ones. Something can happen to something that you, whatever. And it must not move you. Even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace. Okay, that's a flames. That was so intense it killed the guards that threw them in. But they said, even though if our God does not save us from this, we're not going to bow down to this. We're not going to bow down to you. Just like I'm not going to bow down to that fire. I'm not going to bow down to my circumstances. But I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. And man, they came out of that fire with no singed hair. Our home, literally, did not even, I mean, when we were going in there and whatnot, none of our clothes, nothing smells like fire. Nothing. I mean, not one thing. And so, to think about that and to really, wow, Lord, you are amazing God, and we can trust in you, and you are faithful. Maybe our faith might waver, but I'm telling you, He will never waver. He is so faithful. And at this point right now, I think we've been sleeping in the home about a week that the Lord provided. It's a beautiful home, and we've taken a lot of time to put in it that which people have given and donate. I mean, like, and a lot of our just time and money too. Everything that it just doesn't matter. It's all for the ministry, and it's all for our home, and it's all for and it's just neat to go through this and get back on track. And I'm just hoping to, for me, my season of thinking that, well, I'm not doing enough, I'm, you know, but through the whole thing, I've just continued to, I think there, we were gone, hon, what was it, a week or two, that we were downtown in the motel right after it happened, that it was provided for, and we were able to go down there and stay in the motel while things were being provided, the trailer was being fixed that we were going to go into and whatnot. Just going through winter in a trailer and just everything that, you know, we went through. It was a fiery trial, just like you said, but it counted all joy because no lives were lost. And it could have been way, you know, me, I'm so thankful. I'm a thankful man, and I'm thankful for every day I get up and every day that I'm able to continue on, and I'm just thankful. And so I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share and be here today, and thank you, City Edge, for all your support and love, and man, continue to pray and do what you guys do for missionaries and reaching out. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Kelly or Patty about Mount Ministries or about Joy or what how the fire affected them? Anything? Anyone? You want to open it up? If anybody has any thoughts or questions?
Any questions?
You guys know Mount Ministries is it's a recovery. It's a place for recovery, but it's not your standard 12-step recovery place. It's all Christ-centered.
Yes.
Come and encounter Jesus and let Him heal your addictions. And you've seen that. How long has it been going now? How long has it been?
Well, Gary and Faith started when they're, I think, in their 20s or something like that. And like, what was it, 50 years ago? In their home, at their house, and God just started sending people from, I think it was Nebraska,
Iowa,
and from there it just started going on from, I think God ministered to Gary's heart and asked him to set aside the property, and there's a huge story. If you can go onto the internet, it'll tell the history of it, but the part I think that we're at right now, it's been going for what, about 17
years?
Huh? Since 99. And like I said, I showed up there about 13, going on 14 years ago, and I've seen literally hundreds of men and women now too, but men come through there, and it's been a process, but the great thing about Mountain Ministries is it's in a continual process of growth and growing, and you want to try to put your hand on it to try to, you know, try to see it, you know, but God's going, no, this is the way we're going to go, and a lot of the times we can't see the hand of God, but when we look back, like Gary always says, you look back in the mirror and there He is, you know, here He's got, you know, everything. So it is, it's a 1 year discipleship program that deals with drugs and people who are drug and alcohol and other life-threatening vices. We've had people up there addicted to whatever, I mean, you name it. So, but the great thing about it is that when these men come up there and they're serious about getting set free and getting out of the darkness and breaking those chains, and they grab a hold of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the one, He's the chain breaker. He snaps them. I mean, but if you want to hold on to Him, Jesus He's not going to snap it. He's just going to leave it there because you want it. But if you're wanting to totally come out from underneath the bondage and everything, depression, stress, anger, it don't matter what it is. You want freedom. It's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so, I mean, it's amazing. I'm forever thankful. I'm forever, and you know, when God called me to do what I came to do, when He said it, I said, "The Lord, I'm not going to leave until You tell me. I'll go, I'll wait, whatever." And I know that He's submitted. What He's told me in a dream when I was up on the mountain. I forget how many months I was in on my program. But I remember going to Gary and Faye and telling them I had a vision of a root. It looked like an upside down tree with no branches on it, with no bark on it, and it was suspended in the air, and there was a rock. It was up by the fire pit, but where the fire pit is up there on the mountain, it looked like a hewn out rock. I mean, where there'd been, and there was a perfectly round hole. And so that's what I first seen. But then when I looked up into the sky, I could see the beginning of this point, and I just followed it up, and pretty soon I got to the point where I saw these great big hands, and they were wrapped around this root, or it looked like a upside down tree, but it was a root. And when I got to the hands, he went, "You're being rooted down." And I mean, it shot me up out of sleep, and I was sweating, and I was like, "Oh, Lord." I didn't know what to do. I was just so, like, it nailed me. And he said, "I'm rooting you right here, and you're not to be moved." And so ever since then, I've just believed it, and I trust in that until he says, "I'm going to move you." And that's where I'm at. And that's where my beautiful wife, and I have a 17-year-old, his name's Dakota. I have Daniel, who's 7, and I have Christian, who's 5. And we have baby Jenna, who's on the way. And you know, my life's a blessing. And I'm forever thankful to Jesus. I remember one time my wife got a hold of my journal. And she did. She said, "Kelly, you're a thankful man, because in the pages of that journal, I was, thank you, Jesus, for the elk. Thank you for just everything." So,
well, let me pray for you guys and pray for Zoe Ministries as well. In closing here, and then we'll dismiss.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to partner with Mountain and Zoe, and yes, Lord, just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we get to be part of what you're doing in various places. Lord, people are broken. They need you, Jesus. And there's no hope for this world apart from your Holy Spirit invading our lives and making us new. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue to make people new. You'd make them clean. Through Mountain Ministries and through Zoe as well, Lord. And we count on you. We are grateful to be able to partner with them. Show us what we can do. And Lord, we lift them up before you and pray that you would bless them, their lives, their ministries. Put your protection around them. Make their ministry fruitful and break the chains, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dan, she had one more thing she wanted to share.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. I can just do like this.
All right.
One thing that really touched my heart was the last worship song. It actually blew me away. But can you put that verse up?
I'm working on the verse.
Okay. One thing that's really amazing about serving our Lord is he's not a God that's just up there and unapproachable. You know, he totally will minister us through the Word of God, incredibly. But he's also personal and intimate. And you know, during this time,
there we go,
going through such a hard thing,
okay.
So you know, I cried out to him and asked, you know, why? I mean, that's a typical thing that we do as people, is why, Lord, you know, that kind of thing. And when you look at, like, David, right, in the Psalms, I mean, he pours out his heart before the Lord all the time. And that is, like, so okay to do. God can handle your pain. It doesn't dethrone him if you're struggling, you know, and I remember just crying out to him and asking him, "Lord, where were you in this fire?" And he actually gave me a picture. And so when I read this, because he showed me where he was, and that was, it blew me away. Because when the fire happened, it seemed like it had started in our house, and then it, because everything is made out of bamboo and light materials, it just spread so fast because we have gale winds off of the bay and everything. Anyways, I smelled the smoke while I was putting the girls down to sleep. And I always just check on the source of smoke just because of what our neighborhood is made out of. And I've always been a little paranoid about fire. And usually I'd find somebody either burning leaves or cooking food over fire, because that's what they do there, because they don't usually have electric or gas that they cook with. Anyway, so I smelled smoke, thinking I was going to go find somebody cooking lunch. And I got up, left the girls in the room, went down the hallway, peeked into my oldest adopted daughter's room, and saw her bed half consumed in flame going up through the ceilings. I was completely blown away when I saw that. And I thought, oh, crap, you know? And so I ran back and got the first girl, ran her downstairs as a
3 or 4 year old and left her, yelled for somebody to come get her while I ran up to get the other girl. And by that time, you know, I'm running through this little narrow hallway and I go to get into our room to get her, and the smoke is totally bellowing into our room and the flames are, and she's sitting there like waiting for me, you know? And she wasn't budging, she was just waiting, even though something was seriously wrong. And I snagged her and ran her downstairs. So when, you know, everybody got out okay, but that fire just consumed the house so quickly. And when I asked the Lord, where were you in this? He gave me a picture of at the end of that hallway that he was standing like a wall, holding back the flames and the smoke from getting to my other little girl. And that I was able to snag her and run down that hallway and get her out of the house. And that blew me away. And then I was like, okay, you were there, thank you. You know, because I wondered if we were gonna have to climb out a window to get her down, you know, but I didn't have to because he was holding it back. And then the other picture he gave me too is after we were out of the house and everybody in the neighborhood is running around wild and chaos, and I'm like, I got my girls, I'm gonna go stand in the water in the bay, right? Because I know the fire's not gonna reach me in the water. If we have to go out further, we can, you know? And so I'm holding them with my arms wrapped around them, and the Lord showed me that he had his arms wrapped around me, and he was holding me for that time. And that was just incredible, and it just really helped. And so we have an incredible God that loves us so much, even when we go through hard things and we wonder where he is, he's there. He doesn't ever leave us.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, so there's the words.
Yeah.
You know, gazing at him in the flames, that just blew me away, because yeah. That happened.
Thank you, you're dismissed.
All right, got this shut off.